With God's help tonight, we'd like to read out of the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians, chapter 4. Actually, I would like to begin reading with verse 27 of chapter 3 and then through chapter 4. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, and there is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when we knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptations which was in my flesh ye desired not, despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yet they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ, be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, and one by the bondwoman, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For the Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, you barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. May God bless the reading of the word, and let us bow before him in prayer. But the Apostle Paul here writing to the Galatians, he wanted to reestablish, if you will, concerning the Jewish people. As we know that he himself was a Jew, and because of being a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, he lived as the Jewish law and knew it very well. And so we find that the Apostle Paul had difficulties when he would come and when he would write to the churches and he would visit, as he would bring the gospel message to them, they give him a lot of hassle, if you will. They oftentimes tried to kill him. They'd done everything to stop him from spreading the gospel message to different people, especially to the Jews. And so we see that this chapter here, there is no difference. And so he reminds us here that as many of us as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ, and then there's neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. So he made this distinction very clear to them, because that they were Jews, they were no different than you or I or any Gentile. There was no difference between man, woman, child. When we become one in Christ, we become Christ. And there's no difference between male or female. We have to have the faith in Jesus Christ when we are baptized into his death, and we become his brother or his sister in the Lord, but there is no difference as far as authority, as far as being one better than the other, one preferred over another. There's no such thing. Jewish, Gentile, male, female, it made no difference. And the Apostle Paul makes this very clear to the Jews there in Galatia. So we understand here what he's saying when he says, "And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So you see, they counted on being, because they were Jews and they were heirs of Abraham, that they had it made. They didn't have to worry about, they even want to accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. They thought that because they're Abraham's seed, they're Jews, they're God's chosen people, they're in. And nothing is further from the truth. If you or I or Jew or Gentile, male or female, do not believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never inherit eternal life. It doesn't make no difference what you are or who you are. We still are required to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to believe in God's Son, the one that was born of a woman. And so he talks about this here. He talks about them being heirs. They are no different, it says, than a servant. And when he says they were under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So he's pointing out here that when they were no different, they when they was tutored, they didn't know the difference until Christ came. And then he says, "But the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." And so he had to point out to them, this is when Christ came. And you and I now are familiar with this because we're in that time of the season, that time of the year, as we recognize Christmas as the birth of Christ. Whether it was that day or whatever day, it makes no difference. We acknowledge the fact that he was born of a woman and that he was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes because there was no room in the inn. He had to be born in a manger. And of course, that indicating that who he was, yes, God's son, yes, the King of Kings, yes, the Lord of Lords. But he was still humbled when he came into this world because he was born in a manger of all places. Manger, if you think about it, probably one of the dirtiest places that you could be born in. But nevertheless, this is the way God designed it to bring his son into this world. But they would not acknowledge that. They was looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a king. They were looking for someone to rule them and guide them and get them out of this Roman bondage. And they wanted to have their own identity, if you will. And so they just could not accept the way of Jesus Christ and the way he came. And so this is why he's pointing out to them that at this fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So you see, they couldn't understand this redemption of that Christ brought. This is why he was brought into this world. This is why he lived on this earth. And this is why he died on the cross and shed his blood, to redeem us, to redeem all mankind, including the Jews. But they wouldn't accept that. They couldn't see the light. They couldn't understand that. Didn't want to. And so he reminds them that they received the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into the hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, again, it reaffirms us as believers in Jesus Christ that we are the children of God. And because we realize that, we have the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which therefore fortifies the fact that we are his children and that we live in pleasing in him according to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And thanks be to God, he has designed it this way. Otherwise, Satan would have a very easy way to discourage us, to destroy our faith, to disappoint us, if we had not the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct us. And so we have that on our side, if you will. And when Satan comes to us, we simply say to him, get behind me, Satan. I don't serve you. I serve God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what that means? That means that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have the leading of the Holy Spirit. We are greater than those that don't. It's as simple as that. Thanks be to God. He has designed it this way for us to have proof and to be encouraged in our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And so this is what he's reminding these Jews, if you will, that were in giving him this hassle, this hard time all the time, because they were so bent on being Abraham's children. And they was inheriting. No, you were not inheriting nothing. Unless you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't inherit a thing that God has given us, including eternal life. And don't think any different. This is what he had to portray and explain to these people so that they begin to understand. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if the son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when we knew not God, we did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So you see that the Galatians, they had a tendency to want to go back, and probably because there were so many Jews in this congregation, they wanted to go back into their Jewish traditions, their ceremonies, their things that they knew and were taught probably all their life. and couldn't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So they had a problem with all of these things that they couldn't imagine. They were changed, how they could be changed. And so he had to remind them, why are you trying to go back into these things? Don't do that. And that can be applied to us in this very day the same way. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we that have confessed our sins, we have that died to sin, we don't dare for a minute want to go back and urge and want to be into the, as he calls them here, beggarly elements and desired back into bondage, the bondage of Satan. None of us, as God's children, ever should want to go back into that bondage, should ever want to go back. You know, I've been in the faith for over 50 years, and I have never once, not once in all them years, ever had any desire to go back into the old life that I had. Not once. No desire for it. There was nothing there. You know why? Because that old life had me going to sin. And that old life had sin around, wrapped around me. And when you become, when you're a sinner, you're bound for eternal condemnation. Period. Like it or not. That's according to God's word. But when you repent, when you become one of God's children, and you come out of this bondage, you become his child, you're baptized in the likeness of his death, you become his child, you now serve him in a different way. You no longer have that old desires that you once had. If you did, then maybe you haven't completely, seriously repented of your former life and your bondage that you was in, if you have a desire to get back in there. None of us, as believers, should ever want to be back into that bondage, because we know where it had us headed, and that was eternal condemnation. So you see, he's trying to understand, get them to understand that. He said, ye serve days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So you see, he tried to teach them. He went to these different places as a missionary to bring God's message, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. And so he wanted to, as he calls it, labor in on this. He worked hard at this. He went everywhere. And you know, when you think about it, he didn't just go to the airport, get a couple of tickets and fly over here and now be at this church and then pick up more tickets. No, he walked. He either walked or he went by an animal, a donkey, camel, whatever it was. He went through a lot of hassle. He went through a lot of hard times in his life just to spread the gospel message. And we need to realize that what he went through to bring this to the Galatian church, even for us to read today and to understand that we are his children. And this is what he wanted to be sure that they understood. They're not under the tutelage of the old way, the Jewish ways. No more. No, you're in Jesus Christ. You're one. It's all different. Get used to it. But they had a hard time because they were Jews. And you think about it, you know, when you're raised the one way, you know, for myself, I was raised in this church. I was raised in an Apostolic Christian church. My dad was. My grandpa was. I was. And for me to change now, to go into something else, I would have a very hard time. Because this is so ingrained in me. And not only to mention it's ingrained in me, but I believe it to be the truth. I believe that it has saved my soul, and I believe that it's a part of my life. Why would I want to go back? But not just because I was raised this way, but it's, you think about the Jews and the way they were raised and how they were brought up with their traditions, with their ceremonies, with whatever they had to do. This is the way they're raised. Now here comes this Paul along the way, a Jew, if you will, and telling them that they need to get rid of all this stuff. Get rid of that ceremony. You don't need that no more. You got Jesus Christ. And that's all you need. You're different. You need to change. And so can we see then how difficult it might be for them to accept this as a way? Many of the Jews never accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, even to this day. Many of them don't. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. They think he's going to come some other way. I don't know. And there are many that don't. There are many that are what they call Messianic Jews. There are Jews that have become believers in Jesus Christ and have accepted him as the Messiah. And as a result are called Messianic Jews because they believe in Jesus Christ. Just as you and I do. So you see, when we think about their heritage and we think about what they had to go through and what the things that the Apostle Paul had to go through to teach them, to help them to understand this, we can see why he said, I have travailed hard, I worked hard. He said, I am afraid of you lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. And so you see, when people want to go back into their old life, all the preaching and all this, all the reading and all the sermons and everything, all in vain? God forbid. God forbid that any of you here would take all of what you hear up here in vain and disregard it, chalk it off as nothing. Don't do that. Take it serious. It's your soul salvation that you're dealing with. Don't just look at you're joining a church. Don't look at it as you just want to become a member of the West Akron Church. No. If that's all you think about it is, then you might as well forget it. Because it's not going to get you nowhere. What you got to realize is that you want to be a child of God, and because you want to be one of the brethren or a sister in this faith, then you need to go through the ordinances which our doctrine has established, if you will. And that is repentance. Acknowledge your sin. Repentance. Humble yourself with a contrite, broken heart, and God will accept you as his child. And then become baptized in the likeness of his death. And not only that, that's not the end. When you become baptized, that's only the beginning. Now from this day forth, you follow and live according to your leading of the Holy Spirit that you're guided by. And it's a lifelong ordeal, if you will. It's just not a one-time deal. Just because you've repented and become baptized, that's not the end of it. No, it's only the beginning. That's the beginning of a long journey ahead. And so for some of you young people, it can be many years. And it's highly recommended that you don't wait until you get older. Because you see, the older you get, the harder it becomes. I was already married and had 4 children, was 26 years old. And I'm telling you, I've missed a lot of my life that I could have served him. But you see, I was rebellious and I didn't want to hear it either. So I know what you're going through. But don't put up with it. Don't give up. Trust the Lord. Believe in him. And he'll see you through everything. But it takes a determination and a faith to believe and trust in the living God. And this is what I believe that we need to realize and understand what the apostle here is trying to get through to them. He said, you know how through infirmities of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptations, and was in my flesh ye despised not, ye nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. So you see, when he brought the gospel message to them, they was eager to hear. They was glad to hear. Then they accepted it. And as they accepted it, he knew the scriptures. He knew what he was talking about. And they recognized him as someone that was a good, sound, believing teacher. And they even, as it says here, as an angel of God. If you was to ask the Apostle Paul if he thought he was an angel, he would tell you, no way, because of the way he lived and what he had gone through. And none of us can claim to be the same as an angel. Far be it. We're human beings. We have failures. We have faults. We have difficulties. We're not angels. But when we become a part of that heavenly abode, when we become part of that kingdom of Jesus Christ, we will be above the angels, according to God's word. Because of what we have gone through in our lives, because we believed in Jesus Christ, we have accepted him as our personal Savior, that puts us above the angels. You see, the angels never had to go through that. They're angelic beings. God's created them as angels. But he's created us as human beings, giving us a choice, giving us the opportunity to accept Christ as our personal Savior. And this is what the gospel message that the Apostle Paul is trying to convey to them. Don't think, he goes on to talk about the Jewish ways that they had. Even talks about how it says, for it was written that Abraham had two sons, and one by bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these things are two covenants, and one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage with Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answering to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And so he goes and he brings it up. They were familiar with this, that there was two sons of Abraham, one of the free woman, one of the bond woman. The one of the bond woman was not who they are to be. They are not part of that. They are part of the free woman, which was Sarah. And if you go back into Genesis and you read that entire story, how Sarah felt that she was barren and wasn't going to have any children, and so she gave her husband her handmaid, which was Hagar, an Egyptian woman. And so she gave him to wife, and she bore him children. This is the woman of the bond woman. And then later, 99 years old, 100 years old, his wife, 90 years old, gave birth to another son called Isaac. And from that, Abraham was promised, many nations shall come from you. And when you look over and look back on the history, that's so very true. But we are a part of that free woman. We are a part because we have believed in Jesus Christ, which is a lineage all the way down through, to be a part of that. That's you and I today. That's the faith that we have. We are a part of that. And that's why that you read in the scriptures where it talks about, Apostle Paul says, well, we are Jews. We're not Jews by the flesh. We're Jews because we believe in Jesus Christ. And there's no difference between us and the true Jew. We believe, if they believe, we're all one, we're all the same. So you see, as we go through this, we understand what the apostle was portraying to us, and that we could understand today in this day and age who we are, and that we are God's children, chosen by God. You got to remember that God chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. He called us out of a sin-sick world. And he's calling you today, my friend, outside of Christ. He wants you to be his child. Don't turn it down. Don't turn it down. It's the very thing that's going to save your very soul from eternal condemnation. Amen.